face flushed with embarrassment as Brother Luke walked to the bed and came back holding the soiled sheets up for the crowd to see. The people cheered and held up their hands for their prophet. The prophecy was complete. I could feel the pulsing waves of their joy. Ryder held up his hands, looking every inch the prophet of the order. The crowd quieted.
"The 4 days of solitude for me and my new wife will now commence. Take this time to reflect on your sins and pray for our souls to be saved."
The people jumped to their feet in celebration.
"Your celebrations will commence in the West Hall. Go and celebrate your salvation and embrace in the love that your Lord has sent to his chosen people."
I heard the rush of the crowd as they dispersed to begin the celebrations. Ryder turned to Brother Luke.
"I am going to take the curse to the House of Solitude. No one is to disturb us until the 4 days are complete. Am I understood?"
"Yes, Prophet. I have everything covered here. You enjoy purifying your new bride."
Ryder took my hand in his and dragged me in the opposite direction to the crowd. I kept my eyes downcast, trying my best to keep up with Ryder's fast steps. The soft grass quickly gave way to a path, and risking a glance up, I saw the bridal House of Solitude up ahead. But when we arrived at the house, Ryder did not lead me inside as I expected. Instead, he ran past the entrance and headed for the surrounding forest. I frowned in confusion as the ground beneath us turned to rough, dry soil and twigs. Several of the broken branches sliced at the bare parts of my feet through the strappy sandals, but Ryder kept pulling us deeper and deeper into the forest, his attention solely focused on wherever he was taking us. As the light above began to fade, unease began to travel to my chest. Ryder did not look back, just kept pushing forward. Beads of sweat built on my forehead as he increased his speed. The humid air grew thicker the further we traveled. We pushed through until so much time had passed that night moved in. I gasped for breath, unused to such bodily exertion. Then suddenly, Ryder pushed a branch out of the way and a fence came into view. The fence was metal, but the panel in front of us had been cut. Cut wide enough for us to fit through. Ryder pushed the cut sheet aside. I swayed on my feet. I was so confused and exhausted that my head pounded and ached.
"Come home, baby," Ryder urged, indicating for me to go through.
I hesitated just long enough for him to reach for my arm and guide me through. Ryder fixed the sheet back in place behind us, then reached for my hand. At the same speed as before, we passed through several more lines of trees before arriving at a deserted road. Deserted but for a black vehicle with black windows. I sucked in a breath. What was happening? Where were we going? Ryder turned to face me. He placed both his hands on my upper arms and pushed me backward until I was pressed up against the vehicle. His hands moved from my arms to cup my cheeks.
"Ryder," I whispered, trying to catch my breath.
I leaned forward, lifting my hands to lie over his on my cheeks. I breathed in his scent and felt his heart racing against my chest. He was looking at me as if I was his son. I felt in my heart that he was mine, too.
"How?" I asked softly. How is this even possible? I am so confused. I was meant to marry the prophet. I had to help our cause. What have you done?"
He stepped back, brushing my questions aside.
"We need to go, baby."
I reached for his wrist.
"Where? Where are we going? I need to know what is happening."
I glanced back in the direction of the commune, fear lacing my veins.
"My friends, my guardians, we cannot leave them. They need me. They needed me to get close to the prophet."
Ryder stopped and pulled me closer to him.
"They know, Harmony. They helped me do all this. Now I need you to come with me so we can help them too. The plan has changed. We just didn't tell you in case that knowledge puts you in danger."
A thick cloud clogged my mind. If they had helped Ryder,
they will be punished.
My hand flew to my mouth.
"He will kill them. He will kill them all for their betrayal. And where have you put your brother? Is he still alive?"
Ryder cupped my face again. His expression was sympathetic, yet determined.
He is alive. Harmony, this moment was why your friends stayed in Puerto Rico all those years when they could have fled. This was why you volunteered to come back, too. We have set that plan in motion. It just looks different than you thought.
I do not understand, I answered, and held on tighter to Ryder's wrists. I needed to marry him.
They, Brother Stephen, Sister Ruth, Solomon, and Samson, couldn't see that happen. We all saw what this wedding was doing to you. It was killing you inside. None of us could see you sacrifice yourself.
My brother?
He would have hurt you. And even if you could have taken it, I couldn't. We couldn't.
Ryder closed his eyes.
This was the plan we devised the night they discovered who I was. I can get to people who can help us. Because we cannot do this alone. We need to get help, without destroying you in the process.
I saw in his eyes that he was just as conflicted as me at leaving them.
Ryder, I rasped, the tears already clogging my throat. Whoever will help us out of this mess? The authorities Brother Stephen talked of?
Ryder's hands on my cheeks tightened just a fraction.
No. The people that Judah fears most.
At first, I could not think who that could be. Then the prophet's teachings played in my mind. The sermons he preached through the speakers for all the commune to hear.
The devil's men, I whispered.
Ryder nodded his head once.
To rid ourselves of the prophet, we must walk through hell, I asked, trying to build the courage to face such men.
Ryder stared at me for what felt like an eternity.
I fear we have already been living in hell, baby.
Ryder's jarring words halted my breath.
We have to go, now, Ryder said, and went to turn away.
Just before he did, I pulled on his wrist until he was facing me. His eyebrows were pulled into a frown. He watched me, worry in his gaze. I stepped closer, once, twice, until I was right before him.
We are married, I said in an awed whisper.
I glanced down at my left hand and his, simple matching golden rings on our ring fingers. I ran my thumb over Ryder's band and looked up into his eyes. He was already watching me, eyes glistening.
In the eyes of our people, we are man and wife for eternity, and we are celestially joined, you and I.
Ryder did not speak. I watched as he swallowed, his Adam's apple bobbing in his throat. My heart increased in its pace as I feared that what I felt, the heady lightness of happiness fluttering in my heart, was not reciprocated, that it was simply for the sake of the plan. Just as I was about to pull my hand from Ryder's, he backed me up against the vehicle again. My heart beat for an entirely different reason now. It was all due to the strange look in Ryder's intense gaze, as if his dark irises were lit with fire, a burning hunger in their depths. I opened my mouth, willing myself to speak, but Ryder's hands landed on my face, and his mouth crashed down to mine. I was stunned, breathless, as Ryder's mouth devoured mine, passionate, desperate, and filled with so much desire that my legs shook where I stood. My hands moved to his chest, trying to hold on tight to the new feel of being taken in such a way. The movement only urged Ryder on. His tongue dueled with mine, so dominant yet so gentle and soft at the same time. My body felt alive with light and flames, so much so that my chest ached and I had to clench my legs together as a now familiar feeling gathered at my core. Finally, Ryder pulled back, resting his forehead on mine as we both searched for lost breath. Our chests rose up and down in a frantic rhythm. When our starved lungs had finally found a reprieve, Ryder ran his thumb down my arm to my wedding band.
I want you, Harmony. Right now, I can't fucking believe you're my wife. That you were my first. That I just had you like that.
He drew his head back, and brushing his lips against my mouth, said,
so fucking beautiful and perfect. And mine. Truly mine in every way.
I closed my eyes, relieved that he wanted me too.
But I don't deserve you. Not even one little bit.
My eyes opened. I wanted to correct him, tell him that he deserved me more than anyone ever could. But he was already walking toward the vehicle. He opened the door.
Get in, baby, we need to go.
I wondered why he kept calling me baby. I had never heard such a term used toward a grown woman, yet I recognized endearment in his tone. Baby. Trusting that Ryder knew what he was doing, I got into the vehicle, and Ryder slid into the driver's seat. As he started the engine, he kept all the lights off. We sat in darkness. Ryder took a deep breath. I watched him as his eyes closed and his lips seemed to tighten. Something had him troubled. He looked nervous, maybe even fearful. It made me feel fear, too. The devil's men. I had no idea who they were. But then I thought of Ryder's images on his arms, and it began to make sense. He knew these men. He knew them well. I took one of his hands in mine. Ryder turned to me, and I offered him a watery smile. He sighed. He knew that I had picked up on his fear. Ryder brought my hand to his mouth, pressing a chaste kiss to the vanilla-scented skin. He pulled out onto the road and led us away from the prison that had held us for far too long. I didn't let go of his hand as we traveled along the dark, twisting roads. I did not let go of his hand as I felt something dark stirring in my stomach. As I let Ryder lead me into the den of evil, something in my heart told me that only pain of the worst kind awaited us at its gates. So I kept holding on. I vowed to hold on to my new husband with everything that I was. I vowed to never let him go.
Chapter 11. Ryder. A potent mix of equal parts adrenaline and dread stirred within me as we raced away from the commune. I had one destination in my mind, one place I had to get Harmony to without incident. It was the only option. I just prayed to whoever the hell was watching over us now that I got her there. She needed to be there. After everything she had been through. Fuck. My head swam. I had just married her. I had just been with her. My skin burned. It was the best feeling in the world. Yet at the same time, I felt like I had cheated her. She had given herself to someone for the first time in her life, and I was a fucking fraud. I was worse than Judah in my eyes. I could feel Harmony's gaze on me as I shifted uncomfortably in my seat. Her small fingers wrapped around mine just a little bit tighter every time she correctly sensed that I was fucking falling apart. But I wouldn't break down. I had to keep my shit together and see this thing through. Brother Stephen, Sister Ruth, Solomon, and Samson were relying on me. Over an hour passed, in silence. The outskirts of Austin came into view. I allowed myself to look at Harmony. Her back was straight and her eyes were huge as she watched the outside world whiz past us. Her hand was iron tight in mine as she tried to drink everything in. I remembered what that felt like. I was 18 when Scholar Abraham had taken me out for the very first time, when he was preparing me to go undercover with the hangmen. I remembered being so overwhelmed by the world outside that I wanted to run back and hide in the pasture. But little by little, I'd gotten used to the lights and bustle of the city, of the mindless sinners, as I thought of them then. In fact, the only reason I had adapted to the outside world so well was because I knew it was all damned. I was a saint among the sinners, and I believed that with 100% conviction. As I stared out of the window, I too felt like I was seeing the world with new eyes. This time I was the fucked up mess. This time I was the evil man who promoted a faith of pedophilia and rape. I had never felt so disgusted with myself. So disgusted with everything that I had done in the name of a god I was pretty sure had cast me from his good graces. The more I thought about it, the surer I was that something else held me in its hands. I could practically feel hell's fire licking at the soles of my feet.
It is so bright I can barely take it all in,
Harmony said in an awed tone.
Brother Stephen had explained this to me many times, had told me all about the outside world, but hearing of it and seeing it are very different things.
My stomach dropped. At her age, she shouldn't be just seeing this for the first time. I watched her face and thought of everything Brother Stephen had told me the night I had discovered who they all were. I couldn't believe it at first. My mind wouldn't allow me to believe it. But I knew it was true. I could see it now as I looked at her closely. She was so beautiful. The most beautiful thing I had ever seen. It made total sense. Releasing Harmony's hand, I reached over to the glove compartment. As Solomon had promised, there was money enough to do what we needed, and more if we needed to flee. The defectors from Puerto Rico had thought of everything. They had come to New Zion prepared and ready to succeed. Harmony watched me in silence, scanning the area I recognized where we were, not too far away from our destination at all. I drove 3 more miles, turned right, and let out a deep breath when I saw the drugstore up ahead. I pulled into the car park and cut the engine. Harmony's eyes were still on me. I saw the confusion and fear in her expression. Taking her hand, I pulled her close. "I need to get something from here, okay?" She looked at the store.
"I should wait here,"
she said nervously. I nodded and took out a wad of cash from the glove compartment. "I'll lock the door," I said. I had to turn away from her terrified face and leave. The anger that had been so free-flowing in my veins for the past several weeks was back with vengeance. Seeing Harmony force herself to be brave made me lose my damn mind. I was fucking falling hard. Remembering the list of things Brother Stephen told me to get, I rushed through the quiet store, ignoring the strange looks I got from the staff. I knew the white tunic would cause some raised eyebrows, but this was Austin. Everything and everyone was weird. I got out of the store as quickly as I could, throwing the stuff in the bed of the truck. When I got back into the driver's seat, I leaned over to Harmony. Her face was white, her hands balled into fists in her lap, but she still held a determined look in her eyes. I knew she would. She seemed wired to be a warrior in any situation. "You okay, baby?" I kissed her forehead, then pressed a kiss on her lips.
"Yes,"
she nodded. I smiled at her strength. Her hand lifted and ran over my cheek. Her eyes traveled over my body.
"In this light, I can see you properly. Your hair, your brown eyes, your groomed beard."
Her eyelashes kissed her cheek as she lowered her eyes. When she looked up, all doe eyes staring at me, she added,
"You look so very handsome."
I didn't say shit in response. My throat was closed.
"They even covered your deeper bruises."
I rubbed off the powder Sister Ruth had put on my skin.
"The sisters put it on me, too,"
she said.
"I am not used to wearing it on my face."
Harmony naturally was fucking stunning. With makeup enhancing her already flawless features, I was bowled over. There was no question as to why Judah captured her as accursed. She was by far the most beautiful cursed I had ever seen, even above May. May was beautiful, but I knew now that what I had felt for her wasn't even close to what I felt for Harmony. With Harmony, it was more everything. I couldn't even explain it. She just made me feel centered, grounded, when I'd been so fucking lost for so long. We drove another couple of miles until I saw the rundown motel on the left. I pulled in, got out of the truck, and moved around to the passenger door. I opened it and took Harmony's hand. Her fingers shook in mine as she got out of the truck. She looked all around her.
"Are we here? Is this where we are going for help?"
I shook my head and reached for the drugstore bag in the bed of the truck. "One stop first, then we'll go." Harmony nodded and tried to smile. She was so goddamn brave, and she trusted me. She trusted me completely. Fuck, I had done nothing to deserve it. Soon she'd no doubt fucking hate me too. I knew I was on borrowed time. I held Harmony's hand in mine as we went to the motel office. I almost punched the pimply kid at the reception desk when his stupid eyes wouldn't move off Harmony's face. Possessiveness wrapped around me, boiling my blood. It was lucky I was in a hurry, or he'd have been eating his teeth for supper. Snatching the keys from his hand, I led Harmony back outside and down to the room. It was a shithole, but we weren't there to sleep. I shut the door behind us and turned on a lamp. Harmony gasped as the shitty furnishings came into view. I was just about to tell her that we only needed an hour at most here when she said,
"This is a most beautiful room."
Harmony turned to me with shining eyes.
"You have brought me here, Ryder, to a room with a bed and a bathroom?"
She walked to the bed and pressed down on the mattress with her hand before sitting down. Her chin lifted, and she smiled so fucking big that it was almost brighter than the lamp beside me.
"It is so soft,"
she said happily, a light giggle bubbling from her throat.
"And it has linen."
I stood like a fucking mute, watching her, my now wife gushing over a shitty bed and faded over starched sheets. what she had truly been through all her life at the hands of my family, of me, hit home. We had robbed her of any form of joy, of something as simple as a damn bed. She'd had nothing. Nothing but hatred and judgment flung her way, raped, abused, denied basic human rights. I deserved to die. All of us who were responsible for making that her norm deserved to fucking die.
Ryder?
I blinked away the red mist that had descended over my eyes. Harmony was still smiling at me. I needed her to keep that smile. I would ensure by the end of tonight that smile never left her beautiful face again. Come, I rasped, my voice thick with emotion. I walked toward the tiny bathroom and emptied the contents of the bag onto the faded white countertop. Harmony was a statue in the doorway, watching my every move. Her eyes dropped to the hair dye on the counter. We need to change how you look, I said, picking up the box. So if my brother and the disciple guards come looking, he won't recognize you. Harmony studied me for a long time before she slowly nodded her head and tentatively walked into the bathroom. I took the garland of flowers from her head and released the two braids that held back the front sections of her hair. They fell in loose waves around her face. Harmony's smile hadn't returned as we began to work the dye through her long blonde hair. She stood still, facing the mirror, as I applied it to her hair. But her suspicious eyes never left mine. As the dye darkened her light hair to a midnight shade of black, I stood mesmerized, watching it change her appearance. Harmony took a shower, washing off both the remnants of our wedding joining and the dye. She dressed, and I dried her hair. When the final strand was dry, I stood behind Harmony and swallowed. I stayed that way for too many minutes to count. I snapped myself out of my stupor and turned her by her shoulders. Look up, baby. Harmony's shoulders sagged, and my mouth turned dry as I lifted my finger to each of her eyes and removed her contact lenses. I looked at my wife, and I staggered back in disbelief. Forcing myself to gain some semblance of composure, I walked back to where she stood, completely still. I saw the unshed tears shining in her eyes.
Brother Stephen told you about me?
She whispered. It wasn't really a question. It wasn't a statement. It was a shocked realization that I knew everything about her. Taking her wrist in my hand, I lifted it, and with a wet face towel, I wiped off the impressive makeup on her wrist. A tattoo. A tattoo I had seen only 3 times before. The name and numbers of a passage of scripture. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death.
Revelation 21:8,
Harmony said cautiously. Bringing her wrist to my mouth, I kissed the tattoo. I wrapped my arms around her and brought her to my chest, holding her securely in my arms. I'm sorry, I said hoarsely. I'm so fucking sorry for the life you had. Harmony began to cry, but only for a few moments. She pulled back and wiped at her eyes. I couldn't stop staring at her. My heart simultaneously beat and bled for her. She was even more beautiful now, but not in the way I'd thought she'd be. She was simply a more beautiful Harmony. No one else. I couldn't compare her. There was no comparison to me. As hard as that was to believe. Harmony fought to regain composure, and I said, "You are the strongest person I have ever known. What you've been through, what you've survived, what you were willing to do to save the people in the commune." Harmony laughed a single mirthless laugh.
"That is not true. I had to be strong because people relied on me. I was looked upon as the strong one by the ones that I loved, but inside."
Harmony lifted her hand and brought it to her chest, right over her heart.
"In here, I would crumble just like anyone else. I simply hid it from the world. I would not let the cruel men that hurt us find fuel within my tears. Strength is a shield, only to be lowered by trust."
Her words were a blow to me, but it was the glint in her eyes that truly undid me, because it told me that she trusted me. Fuck. She trusted me. Edging toward her, I let my hand fall down over her now black hair. I looked into her captivating eyes. I was lost in their beauty, but we had to leave. It was time for Harmony to find her peace, even if it meant the beginning of one hell of a fucking war for me. Slipping my hand into hers, I said, "Are you ready, baby?"
"Yes,"
she replied, then stole the final fragment of my heart as she nervously added,
"Baby."
She blushed as I smiled at the endearment. I led Harmony out of the truck. We had about 20 miles to go. So I held onto Harmony's hand again, smiling in the knowledge that her shattered heart would soon be fully healed. A small act of redemption in my clusterfuck of a life. I didn't know how I would feel as I rolled up to the place I once called home. I expected to be nervous, hell, I expected to feel nothing but fear of the inevitable. But strangely, I just felt numb. My heart didn't race. My pulse didn't speed up. I was simply calm because I knew bringing Harmony here was right. She deserved it. As I steered the truck around the final bend that would bring me to their gates, I saw the flickering lights of the compound. Harmony shifted on her seat. I could feel her eyes watching me closely, suspiciously, but I kept my gaze straight forward. I didn't bother with the turn signal as I turned left and rolled the truck to a steady stop. I studied the compound. Since I'd last been here, a shit ton of protection had been put in place. The gates no longer had bars, instead they were solid iron. The walls were higher, stronger, and thicker. But newer still were the raised watchtowers that looked over the only road in and out of this place. It was a fucking fortress. Impenetrable, impossible to break in, and even more importantly, to escape from. Movement from one of the towers caught my eye, and I saw a guy dressed in black staring down at me. The truck's windows were all blacked out, and I was thankful for that right then. They couldn't see in, which was the plan. The guy in the tower had a gun in his hand and was scoping out our truck, but I couldn't see which brother it was. Harmony's eyes were huge with fear. "Stay here, okay?" I said. She swallowed and cast a long look at the black iron gates beyond the windscreen.
"Ryder, I am scared. Something in my heart is telling me this is a bad idea."
Leaning over the console, I placed my finger under her chin and brought her lips to mine. I kissed her softly, sweetly, and I kept my mouth on hers as long as possible. I knew this would most likely be the last time that I would know her like this, be here like this, have any kind of moment with her like this. Harmony melted against my lips. It made me feel so fucking alive. I had been dead before her. I pressed my forehead to hers and closed my eyes. I didn't want to move. I would have given anything to stay right there in the truck for the rest of my sorry life. But it was time to face my former brothers. It was time to start paying for all the shit that I'd caused. It was time for Harmony to be free. Of me and the people who had imprisoned her. The sound of raised voices outside cut through the silence in the truck. It was time. "Stay here until I call for you. Don't come out before then. Please," I insisted. Without looking back at Harmony, I opened the door and got out of the truck. With my hands held in the air, I moved around to the front of the truck. Light after light came on, light bulb after light bulb flaring beyond the compound walls to reveal my presence. I winced at the brightness of the spotlight I was thrust under. "Holy fucking shit!" I recognized that voice. My stomach sank as I saw my former best friend, my road brother, the only true friend I ever had in this club. Smiler. I stepped to the side, moving from a direct beam of light so I could look up and clearly see his face. Smiler was staring down at me, mouth gaping. When I caught his gaze, I saw a flash of pure sadness flicker over his face. "Smiler," I said, loud enough for him to hear. My voice seemed to snap him out of whatever trance he had found himself in, and his expression morphed into one of untapped anger. Smiler leaned over the tower's guardrail and shouted across the compound, "Get the fucking press! Now!" He turned back to me again. "Scratch that, get everyone! Every single brother out here, we got a huge fucking problem!" "There's no problem," I said calmly. Smiler's head snapped to face me. He drew his gun, aimed it at my head, then searched the road behind him.
"What the fuck is this, man? Ain't y'all pricks already done enough to this fucking club? You got more cult freaks coming? Trying to steal the fucking bitches again like a bunch of desperate fucks?"
The viciousness in his voice cut through me, but I shook my head. "No, it's just me. I'm not here for trouble." Smiler scoffed, then danced on his feet. his head constantly craning around the bend of the road, searching expectantly for more of my people, my former people. The sound of feet pounding on asphalt came thundering from behind the iron gates.
"What the fuck is happening?"
a voice shouted. I couldn't be sure, but it sounded like Kai. Shit. I closed my eyes for a moment. That forgotten fear coming back in full force, eradicating the calmness I had embraced on the ride here.
"The fucking second coming,"
Smiler shouted back.
"Open the gates."
My heart began slamming against my chest as the iron gates began grinding open. I tried to suck in a breath, but the air was too humid and thick. That or my damn chest was refusing to function. Sweat dripped down my neck. I watched with alert eyes as the shadow of multiple feet danced impatiently behind the opening gates. I pushed my hands higher into the air, just as the gates cleared enough for my former brothers to slip through. The sound of safety catches being clicked off guns echoed off the surrounding trees. Then, like a perfectly organized and fucking ruthless stampede, the hangman appeared. A united front. They stopped dead in front of me. My eyes tracked over each of my former brothers' faces. Everyone stared at me with a look of utter shock, quickly followed by pure hatred. Kai was the first to burst from the line.
"What the fuck is he doing here?"
he hissed. His blue eyes speared through mine, and he moved to run at me, but Styx grabbed Kai by the collar of his cut and dragged him back.
"What the fuck?"
Kai spat, knocking Styx's arm from his neck. One of the brothers broke rank and began searching down the road, gun held high. AK, the ex-sniper, checking for any nearby threats.
"I'm gonna fucking kill the pissant fuck!"
The familiar, guttural, acidic roar ripped through the night. The next thing I knew, I was knocked onto my back, my spine slamming against the ground. Two fists came raining down on me like fucking steel sledgehammers, and my vision swam.
"You tried to take her from me, you fucking cocksucking cunt! You and your kitty-raping fuck of a brother!"
Hands wrapped around my neck and squeezed like a vice. It was enough time for me to look up and see flames black as death eyes. I didn't fight back. There was no point. Suddenly, flame was kicked off me, and I heard his blood-curdling roar as he tried to charge back.
"Flame, brother. Calm the fuck down."
I didn't need to see Viking to recognize his loud voice coming from behind his best friend. I staggered to my feet and held up my hands again. I saw Tank and Bull with their guns aimed at me. Then a huge guy I didn't know, a guy littered with Nazi tattoos, glared at me, the barrel of his gun aimed right at my head. I saw another two members I didn't know, a mixed-race brother with bright blue eyes and a blonde beside him with a Stetson on his head. Both regarded me like I was the devil himself. Finally, my eyes fell back onto Styx. I was sure if a simple look could have killed, I'd be mincemeat on the floor. Styx's eyes were twitching and his jaw was clenched to the point that his chin actually shook with the effort, but his hawk eyes never left mine. And this time, as his VP broke the line and came charging my way, Styx didn't stop him. The fucker just smiled. Kai's iron fist slammed into my stomach, knocking the wind from my lungs. He stepped back, his face red with burning anger. I made myself straighten and saw that the usually easygoing brother looked like shit. His skin was pale, and gone was the fun and carefree glint in his eyes. In its place was the glare of a fucking stone-cold killer. Kai's lips curled over his teeth. He looked as if he was going to say something, but nothing came out of his mouth. He radiated rage, so much so that tears formed in his eyes. And then I knew. I fucking knew it was about Delilah. My heart shattered, because we had taken her, and my brother, he had ruined her. I might not have ordered the rape, the torture, but I'd let it happen. I was just as guilty as everyone else. I lowered my arms to my sides and exhaled a long breath. He would kill me now. I could see that promise on his face. In a flash, Kai gripped my hair, then kicked the backs of my legs. I dropped to my knees and Kai brought a knife to my throat. He wrenched my head back and brought the blade to my exposed skin. I closed my eyes. The blade began to move over my skin. I heard a brother shout,
"Kai, don't you dare fucking kill him. We need to know why the fuck he's here. Fuck him up, yeah, but don't you dare fucking end him."
Then I heard the sound of the truck door opening, and a loud,
"No!"
pierced through the commotion. "Harmony. Harmony," I said, and tried to turn to face her direction. Kai's blade had paused over my throat, but his hand in my hair kept me still.
Harmony, I croaked out again.
What the fuck?
I heard one of the brothers say, and my eyes closed.
Shit, she looks exactly like...
another voice said, but then trailed off to nothing. I felt Kai turn his head then freeze.
What the fuck?
He dropped the blade from my throat and kicked me to the floor with the tip of his steel-toed boots. As I landed, I saw a flash of white move in front of me. She was protecting me. Harmony stood facing the brothers, her arms out at her sides as if to keep them from reaching where I lay.
Do not touch him,
she threatened. I swallowed at the sudden emotion welling up in my heart, the affection constricting my chest. I got to my feet and put my hand on Harmony's shoulder. She jumped and I saw how frayed her nerves were. She looked back to me and her naturally ice-blue eyes locked on mine. Moving my finger to her cheek, I said, "It's okay." Harmony's face had paled. She looked at me as though I was insane.
"They hurt you,"
she said. It was deathly quiet around us. I didn't care. "I deserve it," I replied back. I knew the hangmen would all have heard, but I didn't care. I didn't care about anything anymore. I took hold of Harmony's hand. I brought it to my lips and kissed the soft skin on the back. Tears of sadness and confusion formed in her eyes. I dropped our joined hands to my side and faced forward. I looked directly at Styx and saw the look of astonishment on his face. Viking looked at Styx.
"Prayers. Why the fuck does Prophet Dipshit's whore look like?"
Styx raised his hands and started firing off sign language. "Get May and the sisters out here fucking now." Bull turned and slipped through the gates. It was deathly silent as I stared my former brothers down. They glared right back. Tension thickened the air, making it almost impossible to breathe. Harmony's hand began trembling in mine. Knowing I had only minutes to be with her, I ignored the watching brothers and turned to the woman that had changed my life, given me the gift of her, given me the only few precious weeks of happiness I'd ever had. Harmony looked up at me and blinked. Her long lashes fanned over her cheeks and my stomach clenched. I leaned forward and tried to put a smile on my face. "Harmony," I took in a deep breath. "Thank you," I said. "Thank you for showing me who I truly am." I shook my head and laughed a humorless laugh. Or at least who I could have been, if everything hadn't been so messed up.
"Ryder,"
she whispered sadly, and a tear fell down her cheek. My heart broke. No one had ever cared for me in such a way. They never would again. I would never forget how it felt. What that care and faith could do to a person's soul. I heard the sound of rushing feet coming from inside the compound. Knowing our time was up, I leaned down and kissed her. As our lips joined, our version of prayer, I savored her sweet taste on my tongue, committing her scent, feel, and taste to memory. "I will never forget how you made me feel." I squeezed her hand. How this touch reignited my hope, when I had none left to cling to. I let my fingertip drift along her bottom lip. How these lips made my heart beat, when I was sure it could never beat again.
"Ryder,"
Harmony murmured, but I cut her off. "Thank you. Thank you so damn much for making me understand what it was like to be normal for a time. I didn't know until you that I'd been living my entire life with blinders on. You..." I sucked in a breath. "You changed all that for me. You made me see the truth. Even though it was too late, I'm glad that I saw it. We should walk into death with our eyes and hearts wide open." Panic spread across her face, but when I saw Bull walk through the gates with three women, I stepped back and faced the hangmen's wives. Harmony threw her arms around my waist and buried her head in my chest. She was holding me so tightly, so hard, that I almost didn't hear her ask,
"Why do I get the feeling that you are telling me goodbye?"
I winced, trying to stop the sadness from consuming me. I held it together enough to reply, "I'm setting you free." As Harmony's hold tightened, I looked up to see May reach out and grasp Styx's hand.
"What is it, Styx?"
her soft, confused voice asked. Then she looked my way. As soon as her blue eyes fell on me, her hand rushed to cover her mouth.
"Ryder,"
she whispered, and my heart broke anew. May had always called me Ryder, even when I was displaying no trace of the man she thought she knew. She had never lost her faith in me. I realized how good a friend to me she had been. She was my friend. Only my friend, and I had screwed it all up for a prophecy that was as real as Santa Claus. I looked at Delilah in Kai's arms. Kai was keeping her propped up. She looked like she was in pain, struggling to stand. Her face was blank as she regarded me. I knew the man she would be seeing in my place. My gaze moved to Maddie, standing in Flame's embrace. She was clutching him tightly, Flame's black eyes promising me a death worthy of a hangman traitor. I nodded my head at the psycho brother. He would soon get his chance. I closed my eyes, just feeling harmony in my arms for a few more moments. Eventually, I gently guided her away from me. She looked up at me, confused eyes searching mine. "You are no longer alone, baby," I said. She frowned, her black eyebrows pulling down into an adorably confused frown. I slowly turned her to face the cursed sisters. I felt Harmony tense as all eyes fell on her. I watched May, Lila, and Maddie as they gradually saw the woman standing in my arms. A long, disbelieving exhale rushed through Harmony's lips.
"No," she whispered. "Impossible."
I saw May's eyes widen. Lila and Maddie stood, lips parted in shock for what felt like eternity. Harmony staggered back against my chest just as Maddie left the protection of Flame's arms and cautiously whispered,
"Bella."
Harmony's head snapped to the youngest cursed sister, and a pained cry fell from her lips.
"Maddie,"
she whispered back.
"My little Maddie."
Maddie's anguished cry matched Harmony's, and she ran forward. Harmony didn't let her little sister take more than 2 steps before she was rushing to meet her too. As soon as they met, in the no man's land between where I stood and where the hangmen protected their gates, they wrapped their arms around each other and dropped to their knees. My chest was tight as I watched Harmony hold on to her sister so hard that I thought she'd never let go. Maddie's long dark hair was exactly the same shade as Harmony's. I saw Flame beginning to pace as he watched them, his hands on the side of his head, as if he couldn't take all the emotion. Movement caught my eye. Lila was edging toward her 2 sisters, tears streaming down her scarred face. She had her arm over her stomach and her movements were labored, and even from where I stood, I could see her hands were shaking. Disbelief was all over her face. Harmony carefully drew back from Maddie's arms and got to her feet. Maddie stood too, never leaving Harmony's side, staring up at her elder sister like she was Christ risen from the dead.
"Lila,"
Harmony murmured. Tears filled her eyes.
"Lila, what happened to you?"
Guilt seared across my heart. I felt 2 eyes boring through me. When I looked up, Kai's jaw was locked and he was glaring daggers at me. I got his message loud and clear. I was responsible for his wife's disfigurement and pain, for whatever she was clearly going through now. I completely agreed.
"Bella!"
Lila cried, drawing my attention back to them. She didn't answer Harmony's question, but carefully and cautiously folded herself into Harmony's arms.
"Shh,"
Harmony soothed as she held her tight. I saw her eyes squeeze together in pain, pain for what her sister must have gone through in her absence, and tears tracked down her face.
"I have missed you, Bella. I missed you so much I could barely breathe,"
Lila cried into Harmony's shoulder.
"But how? I do not understand. You died. I cannot—"
A loud, tortured cry came from across the lot. "May." Harmony pressed a kiss to Lila's cheek and stepped out of her embrace. Harmony looked toward May. I let my eyes drift from Harmony to May and back again. They could almost pass as twins. Yet curiously, I didn't see them as the same. They shared the same height, build, dark hair, and ice blue eyes. Yet there was a spark in Harmony that, to my heart, May didn't possess. A spark that told me she was mine, in a way that May never was never meant to be. May cried harder as Harmony slowly approached her. May had once told me of her sister Bella and the special bond they shared. She loved all her sisters, but I had always known there had been an extra bond between Bella and May. I could see that even now, in the way they looked at each other. May was curled against sticks, the prez keeping his pregnant fiancée from falling down. He kissed her on her head, watching the scene with a fucking shell-shocked look on his face. Harmony stopped dead.
"May,"
Harmony said.
You died,
May whispered. She stepped forward toward her sister.
You died. I sat with you as you died.
May's face contorted with pain.
I held your hand in mine as it went still and cold. I felt your fingers stop shaking until they never moved again. I know,
Harmony whispered back.
You told me to run. You told me to run and never look back.
May's blue eyes became tortured.
So I did. I left, but I left you there alive and alone.
She shook her head and choked on her tears.
Bella, I would never have left you if I knew. If I had known.
May's knees gave way and she slumped to the floor. Styx moved forward to catch her, but Harmony was there before him, joining her sister on the floor.
May, do not blame yourself.
Harmony cradled May's head in her arms. May cried and cried, loud, racking tears. When she had calmed, she lifted her head and searched Harmony's face.
You look exactly the same.
May smiled and ran her hand down Harmony's cheek.
Still so beautiful. The most beautiful of all. May, I am so sorry.
Harmony cried.
I was told you had all died. I thought I had lost you all too.
May held out her hands to Lila and Maddie. The two sisters walked over and joined them on the floor. They wrapped their arms around one another, creating an impenetrable circle. Their heads were bowed, as if they were in deep prayer. My stomach sank as I saw in that moment how they all would have lived in the old commune. Only having each other for support. Only knowing the love of the other sisters. Nobody else accepting them. Harmony lifted her head.
I was told you had all died.
She shook her head.
I have believed for so long that I had no one left in the world. That I was alone.
Then she looked at me and fucking smiled.
Until I met Ryder.
Her loving smile pierced the protective ice that had formed around my heart when we had arrived. I had forced myself to try and detach. It was protection against my heart shattering, because I knew it was coming. Then it did.
You have to be fucking kidding me.
Harmony flinched. I looked up to see Kai shaking his head, combing back his long hair in frustration. He pointed at his wife.
You want to know why Lai's face is scarred? Ask the sadistic cunt that brought you here.
Harmony's face paled.
You want to know why me and my wife, your sister, might not be able to have kids? Why Lai can hardly walk because of surgery to try and fix that shit? Ask that fucking rapist bastard that fucking brought you here.
Harmony's gaze fell to Lila, whose head was bowed in embarrassment.
Ask your fucked up cunt of a man about how he kidnapped May and tried to force her to marry him. Ask him about how he captured Lai and allowed her to be burned and gang-raped by his prick of a twin and his pencil-dick friends. Ask him about his fucking insane obsession with May only to fucking turn up with you, her fucking mirror image, and how—
Kai! Enough!
Lila shouted and struggled to get up off the floor. She winced and hissed through her teeth as she straightened. But she swallowed her pain when she saw that all eyes were on her. She turned to her husband.
Stop. We have just got our sister back. A miracle.
She shook her head.
So just stop.
She seemed exhausted. I felt like the piece of shit Kai thought I was. Harmony stepped slowly toward me. Her bottom lip was trembling and her watery eyes were searching mine.
Ryder,
she whispered. I ducked my head. I was ashamed. So fucking ashamed. Taking a long inhale, I looked back into her beautiful ice blue eyes and said, It's all true. Everything they said. I did it all. Harmony's face contorted in agony and she shook her head. Tears spilled from her eyes.
No, I do not believe it. You would never do all those evil things. The man I have grown to know, he would never do it. He has a kind and pure heart. He brought me back to my sisters. He saved me from an unwanted marriage. Turned on his own flesh and blood for the greater good, for the sake of my happiness. A woman he has not known long at all.
Her words were a punch to the stomach. Because I wanted so badly to be the man she believed me to be, I wanted to explain everything in great detail, to tell her why it all happened, how it all happened. But I knew there was never an excuse for what had been done to not just the sisters here, but too many more to count, including the hangmen themselves. I had let it all happen. I was the prophet, but allowed things to transpire in my name without my knowledge. I had been a fucking sorry excuse for a leader, burying my head in the sand when shit got hard. I had left the rulings to a delusional wannabe god. That fault lied with me. I was as guilty as all sin. Maybe not directly, but in my eyes, that only made it worse.
Ryder.
Harmony pushed me to answer, her hands clutched together in desperation in a prayer position at her chest.
I did it. I blurted again, more forcefully this time. I heard the conviction loud and clear in my voice. There would be no mistaking my truth.
No,
Harmony argued, shaking her head again. A sob left her throat and she stepped forward. Her hand landed on my chest and I had to turn my head away when I saw the wedding band on her finger, the symbol of my vow to her, shining up at me in the harsh security lights. This was worse than anything Kai could do to me. That ring mocked me, taunted me with what I wished I could have gained. A love without shame or consequence. And a wife that I could love without guilt. You did marry an evil man, Harmony.
Bella,
she interrupted, her voice raw. I closed my eyes for a brief second, unable to stand the growing hint of pain and betrayal in her tone.
My true name is Bella.
My heart tore. Bella, I rasped. I opened my eyes. You did marry the prophet, the true prophet. One that was just as guilty and fucked up as the alternative you feared most.
Ryder.
Cain. That name felt like vinegar on my tongue, but I forced myself to finish what I wanted to say. I am Cain. No matter how much we've pretended I wasn't. I've done fucked up things, unforgivable things. We have talked of Judah like he was the only guilty party in the order. Like I am nothing like him. But I am. We are cut from the same cloth, made of the same blood and soul. The evil that lives within him crawls in me too. We just pretended otherwise. I stared into Harmony's eyes. You need to let me go, baby. You have your sister's back. You are free. I'm not the man you believed me to be. And I can certainly never be who you deserve. My chest ached as I struck the final dagger into her balloon of hope. You have never known the true me. I am evil disguised as good. I am not worthy of your affection. You have to let me go. Bella didn't speak, just regarded me with a stranger's eyes. Kai grabbed me by the neck and pushed me through the gates. Someone spat on my face as I passed. Another brother stuck out his fist and punched me in my already bruised ribs. But I kept my head high as I walked through the main body of the compound. I had been weak before, letting all of the pedophilic shit happen on my watch. This time, I would take whatever punishment the hangmen dished out. I just needed them to listen and help me first. After that help had been given, they could do whatever they wanted to me, no matter how severe that punishment was. There was no question that I deserved it. No punishment would ever be enough.
Chapter 12. Styx. I couldn't fucking believe this cunt. Turning up at the compound, brazen as all hell, dressed in white, trying to look like he ain't done a damn thing wrong. With May's sister. Her fucking doppelganger, her supposedly dead sister who Ryder, May's biggest fucking fan, looked like he was screwing. Fuck. My. Life. The brothers were all jacked up with rage, trailing after Kai as he dragged Prophet Fucknut across the yard and down to the barn through the woods. Perfect place to keep this fucker. Away from the clubhouse and nowhere near the cabins. I kept my eye on Kai as he dragged Ryder down toward the small wooden barn. I looked at Ryder, and my lip curled in disgust. I fucking hated this cunt. My muscles practically throbbed in excitement at the thought of what he was gonna go through tonight at our hands. Tonight, my brothers would extract every bit of revenge they wanted from his flesh. Slowly, painfully, drawing his death out as long as humanly possible. Tank and Bull came to my side. Tank shook his head.
May's fucking sister, Prez? Ain't she supposed to be dead?
I nodded my head and signed, as a fucking doornail. It was the reason May ran from the pedo fuckers in the first place.
Then how the fuck did Ryder find her? Out of all the bitches that would have been cramming for him at that commune, he goes for the one that looks exactly like May. Go figure.
My teeth ran over my top lip in frustration. His obsession with my bitch had gone too fucking far. And one thing was for damn sure. He wouldn't be going near her or Bella again. I ain't ever seen May react like she did just now, seeing her dead sister rock up like a damn ghost at our gates. I knew she'd been close to her, but fuck. She could barely stay standing. Guess I never understood just how close they really were. He dies tonight, I signed. This fucker's delusional reign is gonna end tonight. I'm done having him exist. So fucking done. Kai opened the door to the barn and slammed the thick sole of his heavy boot against Ryder's back, catapulting him to the blood-stained floor. By the look on Kai's face, I wasn't sure anyone else would get a shot at the rat. Lila had had her surgery, and every day since, my VP had fallen deeper into fucking darkness. Seeing his bitch hurting in a fucking hospital once more had turned the laid-back brother into a fucking demon. A damn demon hell-bent on nothing but revenge. Kyler fucking Willis had enough pain inside him to make Ryder's death worthy of the fucking history books. Vike's face was like stone as he held the door open for us to troop through. One thing I made sure happened in this damn club, any smartass and fucking stupid remarks stopped the minute business needed to get done. It was why we were ruthless. When it came down to it, we would cut any fucker down, then laugh about it later, over their carved up dead bodies. Viking shut the door and snapped the lock. AK switched on the bare light bulb that hung down from the center of the wooden roof. I pushed through Smiler, Hush, and Cowboy and stepped around Flame, who had his blades ready at his side, pacing back and forth with bloodlust in his dead eyes. Kai shackled Ryder to the long chains hooked into the barn floor, and my best friend wasn't taking it easy on the traitor. He threw in a random punch when he fucking wanted, wrenching Ryder's arms back as he tied the cuffs around his wrists. I saw the pain on Ryder's face, but the fucker barely even flinched. His eyes were focused on the floor, staring off at sweet fuck all. Kai stepped back, panting from the adrenaline pumping through his veins. "What's wrong, rat? Someone take away your new puppy? You crying over your new bit of pussy finding out you're a rapist?" Ryder looked up. With a fucking spew of venom I never expected the cult freak to muster, he hissed, "Don't you ever talk about her like that ever again. I'll tear your tongue from your mouth." His voice was low and raw. Turned out the turncoat had some brass balls underneath that pansy tunic after all. Kai froze, then a cold-as-fuck smile spread across his perfect face. The VP crouched down, getting right in Ryder's face. "Oh, what's the matter, oh holy one? Don't like us fucking with someone you care about? Talking about her sweet wet cunt?" His smile dropped, and he leaned in until his nose almost touched Ryder's. "Should have thought about that before you and your pedo twin made it your life's mission to take what was ours, over and over and fucking over again." Ryder's cheeks flamed. Then, just as I thought Kai would back away, he smashed his forehead against Ryder's, the dull sound echoing off the bare wooden walls. Ryder's head snapped back at the force of the blow, but he quickly righted himself and forced himself to sit up.
"Looks like we've got a fucking fighter here, boys,"
Viking shouted, cracking his fingers. I felt the tension in the room soar. Kai hovered over Ryder, lording over his sitting form. Flame was off to the side, losing his shit second by second. I knew if I didn't do something about this shit and quick, this fucker wouldn't talk about why the hell he was here. These rabid pit bulls wouldn't give him the chance, not that the fucker deserved it. But I wanted an explanation for the Bella situation, so I'd fucking get one. I didn't buy for a second he was just here to return Bella. This fucker always had an agenda. There was always a catch, a damn deal to be done. I pushed forward, the brothers scattering out of my way, and stopped dead in front of Ryder. To his credit, Ryder looked up and never fucking broke my gaze. The bastard didn't even look scared. Maybe I'd have to change that, quick. Shaking my hands to loosen them off, I motioned with my head for Kai to move away. Kai glared at me. He wanted to tear this fucker apart piece by piece. It wasn't happening. Not yet. When Kai saw I wasn't going to back down, he threw his middle finger in the air and moved to stand next to Hush. Hush pressed his arm on Kai's shoulder to hold the fucker back. Kai's eyes locked on Ryder. I knew one wrong word from his mouth would push my VP over the edge. Ryder's attention was squarely on me. I rolled my neck from side to side, then signed, "You better start talking. And you'd better do it fucking quick, because I got about 11 reasons stood around this room for why you want to start explaining shit before it's too late and I just decide to slit your fucking throat." Ryder's nostrils flared at my